Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth interactive study of the Word of God. I'm glad you joined us today as we continue an important series of studies on discipleship. Today, discipling spiritual leaders. I want to welcome the team here in the studio. Good to be together again, isn't it? And I have learned so much, have you, about how Jesus related to people? And here we're talking about discipling spiritual leaders. I know it's going to be a great blessing.
Amen.
We're glad that you're with us today. In fact, we'd love to hear from you. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. Even if you've written before, we'd love to hear how you're growing in the Lord and sharing the truth of God's Word with others. We've got some emails that just came in recently. Unfortunately, we can't read them all. We get hundreds of emails, but each one is precious. We share it not only with our participants, but with our media team, and it's an encouragement to each one. Sylvia writes from Australia, and she says, when the Lord returns in all His glory, can you imagine the joy of the Hope Sabbath School team as they greet the saints who have chosen Jesus as a result of Hope Sabbath School?
Oh, praise God.
Wow.
Praise
she God. Said, I've been a church member for 80 years. I've loved Sabbath School ever since I first attended at 2 weeks of age. However, recent significant medical problems, including being wheelchair confined, have prevented my continued attendance at Sabbath School until I discovered Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
She says, I was disappointed in my inability to participate at a local Sabbath school, but now I can watch the lesson and I've been revitalized every Sabbath morning. It also enables me to share the truth with others. What a marvelous blessing. May God continue to richly bless your ministry and touch the lives of many of your Hope Sabbath School members. Well, thanks for writing, Sylvia, from the central coast of New South Wales. It's good to know we've got Hope Sabbath School members there in that part of Australia. Sarah, thanks for writing from the United Kingdom. Sarah says, I've always been tremendously blessed by the way you study the Bible on Hope Sabbath School. I hardly have time to study Sabbath School in church because I have to be with the children. So, Hope Sabbath School, you make the lesson simple, understandable. I just want to say thank you and may the good Lord continue to bless your ministry and enrich your knowledge of Him as you share the truth of God with others, including me.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, she says, keep the flame burning till He comes.
Amen.
Awesome. And she watches us online from the United Kingdom. Sarah, thanks for joining us. You probably go to our website, hopetv.org/hopess, and you can watch the program online. Israel writes to us from Nigeria. Mm-hmm. And Israel says, I want to use this opportunity to commend you all for the great work you've been doing on Hope Sabbath School.
Oh, praise God.
Every Friday, we love to study the Sabbath School lesson with you. We never have been left unfilled with the Holy Spirit each time we study. I'm urging you to keep it up. Thanks for your good work, Israel. Well, thank you, Israel, writing from Nigeria. And boy, what a blessing. And we know it's the work of the Holy Spirit who can take the Word of God and change lives around the world, including ours. One last note from Danny, who is originally from Papua New Guinea. Mm-hmm. But now he's living in the Philippines studying aeronautics. He writes as a student pilot at the Continental Aero Flying School.
Wow.
And Danny says, by the grace of God and also the help of the Holy Spirit, I found Hope Sabbath School and decided to check it out online. And eventually I saw the Hope Sabbath School program. This is my third week now. And what I'm doing now is during Sabbath morning, I'll have my Sabbath School lesson with Hope Sabbath School members and then go to church. So far, I've really enjoyed the Hope Sabbath School broadcast. Thank you so much, Hope Sabbath School team. May God richly bless you all.
Amen.
Well, Danny, God bless you in your study of aeronautics there in the Philippines, even though your home is Papua New Guinea. Isn't it amazing to have Hope Sabbath School members all around the world?
Amen.
We even have Hope Sabbath School members in the United States of America. Every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And we are excited today that we can have a guest, actually one of our team, teaching the Sabbath School. I'll introduce her in just a moment. But first, we're going to sing our scripture song for this series, taken from Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, Jesus said, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. I invite you to sing it with us.
Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest.
As we sing that scripture from Matthew 11, 28 to 30, and we sing it through twice, by the time we get through this series, we'll have that hidden in our hearts forever. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
That's the word of Jesus, and such a blessing. And today, as we talk about discipling spiritual leaders, I'm so happy that one of our class members is going to lead us in our study. And Stephanie, it's always a blessing to hear the word of God as we share together. So would you come and lead us in prayer as we begin our study today?
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for guiding us and directing us up to this point. We ask that you would speak to us today through your word, that we may take away something that we can apply to our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Discipling spiritual leaders. I don't know about you, but when I read that, I thought, aren't spiritual leaders born spiritual leaders? Who is a spiritual leader? Is it just someone who's on the church board? For instance, the pastor, the deacon, or the deaconess? Who is the spiritual leader?
I think we all are. Mm-hmm. And I think if Jesus discipled the 12, then there's a place for each one of us being discipled to be the great spiritual leader he's called us to be.
Definitely. When you go ahead, Nathan.
I was just thinking also in the home, those of us who are parents, we're spiritual leaders to our family, especially to our children.
Absolutely. So really, everyone in their sphere of influence is a spiritual leader. In the very basic definition, a spiritual leader is someone who leads people to Jesus.
Amen.
So that means each one of us is a spiritual leader, isn't that true?
Right.
Yes, Jennifer.
And I was just going to point out that the disciples weren't a part of the religious establishment. They were just regular, ordinary people who were willing to do whatever God asked. Mm-hmm.
Very true. Very good point. And so today, while we'll be looking at verses that somewhat focus on church leaders, we're also going to apply it to us because we're all leaders in the spiritual realm. So let's start our study. And Jennifer, if you would start our study in Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. And we're going to look at the first aspect of four that we will be looking at today in our study. So if you'll take us to Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16.
And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James, and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor.
What do we see Jesus doing?
Praying.
He's praying. Why is he praying?
He has to make a very important decision the next day to choose.
An important decision. Ulrich.
In selection of these disciples, who will soon become apostle, he know that he will be soon entrusting the work that he would have begun into their hands. And he wanted the Father to guide him in the selection of these individuals, knowing that, as we see in the book of Acts, that in Acts 6, they wanted leaders who were, you know, of good reputation, wisdom, full of the Holy Spirit, because these individuals were going to be spiritual leaders in the church.
So it's important. It's important to have that prayer.
Yes.
You are absolutely right.
Stephanie, Derek. It's interesting. I've heard this text about Jesus prayed all night, and we sometimes, let's have all-night prayer meetings. Like somehow there's virtue in that. And I don't think there's anything wrong in praying all night. But I think the point is really important that was made, and that is that Jesus is in prayer all night because he is about to make a very important decision.
Exactly.
About who he will invest his energy in over these next years.
Yes.
And he's going to disciple some key leaders.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting it ends up with Judas, who is also a traitor, which maybe has some other lesson. But I think when we make a really big decision in any area of our life, we ought to pray a lot more than we normally do.
True. And since you brought that up, is it just at that point that we have a major decision, should we just start to pray? In other words, I'm not praying all along, and I have a major decision to make. Oh, Lord, help me.
Yeah.
And I get down on my knees, and I'm just pleading for prayer. Or is there a preparation? Tricia Lee.
I think that God is merciful, and that even in those moments where you've kind of drifted away and you're just coming back when you're in a crunch or a bind, that God will still hear us. But there's something to be said about having a consistent prayer life, and I think that's really important too.
It is. Prayer. Go ahead.
I was just noticing that it says here on verse 12, he went to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. So you could see that it's very, very important for him to do that, because he's actually choosing 12 apostles who have different temperaments, different biases, different, they're all from walks of life.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they won't all agree with each other. He probably foresaw the future in the future they would be asking who's the greatest in all this. They were fighting and until the Pentecost came, you know, they were of one accord, but they were from different walks of life, different kinds of people. It's very important for him to
be in prayer.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know, I was just thinking, I think Tricia Lee's right, and I think you're pointing out that we need to be people of prayer at all times.
Yes.
But we can't pray all night every night. If we we'll get sick and die. So, So we do, we continue. In fact, that would be what we would call intemperate to do that. You need to sleep at least, you know, 8 good hours of sleep a night. So we're always in prayer. The Bible says pray without ceasing, continue in prayer. But there are key times, a person contemplating a marriage, contemplating a major life decision like moving to another location on a job or whatever, choosing spiritual leaders to mentor.
Absolutely.
There are times where we may have been praying all along, but this is a crucial crossroads in life. And Jesus models here that it becomes a very focused time of prayer.
And not only did he pray when he was choosing the disciples, but he was praying when he was training them to go out. Let's turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verses 35 and 38. And Carlo, if you would read that for us, Mark chapter 1, 35 through 38, and let's see what the Bible says Jesus did before he went out to minister.
Mark chapter 1, 35 through 38. I'm reading from the New International Version. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come."
So what was Jesus doing by example for his disciples?
Praying.
He was teaching them to pray.
Importance of prayer.
Oh, yeah.
Would you say that prayer is really the key to success?
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It really is. In a previous lesson, we spoke about prayer and having that open communication with God, how important that is. Yes, Tricia Lee.
I think it's really important that Christ is setting that foundation, because spiritual leaders and leaders in general just get really busy. But you have to stay connected, or else what are you leading people into, or who are you leading them to? So I thought it was really good that, you know, you have to keep praying even as a spiritual leader, because that's the source that you're trying to lead people to. You have to stay tapped into that.
Mm. Yes, go ahead, Kenneth.
I brought a very important point. You know, I don't believe nobody on this earth was or will ever busy than Jesus, whom sometimes he need to heal the entire nation. But, you know, in this case, he was telling people that it is very important to do those jobs, but it is so important to stay connected to God.
Yes.
So he lay emphasis on having time to pray to God. But sometimes, if you're not careful, you because of being so busy, and then the very important thing that has to do with your salvation, you will lose sight of it.
Yes, prayer is important. Go ahead.
I was just thinking too, Jesus, he was God too. He knew everything. He knew who to select too, you know? And out of all of this, he still points out he's an example. Like he doesn't say, okay, I'm God and I know all this and I'm not going to go pray. He is our primary example.
Yeah.
And if he went to pray knowing all things, you know, having to God his Father, then how important it is for us to search for prayer, because we are not perfect,
true.
And we need that guidance too.
Yes. Derek.
I'm going to question that comment and ask, did he know all things? Because he was also fully human.
Yeah.
We could say, well, he doesn't need to memorize the Bible because he already knows it all because he's God. I don't think he did. I think he came fully human as well as fully God.
Yeah.
And he had to learn. He said, I do nothing of my own, but as the Father shows me. So I've not come to do my own will, but the will of my Father in heaven. So I really think that Jesus was gaining wisdom while he was praying, really to be directed in what he should do. Mm. And, you know, I see him here. He's saying, talk to God before you talk to people.
Yeah.
You know, because we're talking about discipling spiritual leaders. He said, before you go out and do that, talk to the Father.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I really think, because I'm sure the class can correct me if I'm totally wrong, but I really think that Jesus was gaining wisdom from his Father, just as we will, if we spend that time before making big decisions.
I agree. Nathan,
I'd like to
go
correct
ahead,
no. I'd like to agree with you, because I thought the same thing. I believe when Jesus became human, when he was incarnated, he laid aside his divinity and he said, "Of mine own self, I can do nothing." Right? He was doing the work of the Father, And an example where we can see that he didn't know everything all the time unless it was revealed to him was when, after, I think Matthew records, after his temptation in the wilderness, he comes back from that experience and it says, and he learned that John the Baptist had been imprisoned by Herod. Mm. He didn't just know it. He learned of it when he came back into contact with human beings again after the wilderness experience. Yes. So he lays aside his omniscience, all-knowingness, and then things are revealed to him by the Father. And just and that's his example to us. As a human being, he became one like we are so that he could show us as well how to depend on the Father in those ways and seek wisdom from the Father.
And certainly that is an example to us. He knew the end from the beginning. He knew that he was going to... that he would be victorious. Yeah. But some of the details, again...
I want to raise my hand and say, I want to say he only knew that by faith.
By faith.
Amen. Exactly. Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes we're like, I've heard people say, well, obviously Jesus could be tempted because Jesus is God and God doesn't sin, so he couldn't even have sinned in the wilderness. I'm like, no, no, no. You think the devil is that stupid? You know, Jesus was fully human.
He was.
And Satan's pounding him to try to force him to take things into his own hands rather than trust in the Father. Mm-hmm. So even the belief, the conviction, you know, he says, Father, glorify me with the glory I have with you before the world was. That was by faith. Yeah. He's trusting. I think it's really important to remember that because that same power and wisdom from the Father is available to us in the name of Jesus.
Yes, and I'm glad that you brought that point up because, and I know that we need to move on, but I think it's an excellent point that we need to trust God implicitly, and that's why we go to Him in prayer, because we know that He will guide us and direct us, won't He?
Yes.
Amen.
He will. So the first aspect was prayer. The next one is giving our disciples, those that we're discipling, the opportunity, the spiritual leaders, the opportunity to ask questions and to make requests. And so let's turn to Luke chapter 8, verses 9 through 15. And if I could have Nathan read that for us.
This is from the New King James Version. Then his disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? And he said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. And the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience.
Thank you. And we're going to read the next two verses, and then we'll comment on those. And Carlo, if you would read Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. So first of all, we've seen the parable of the sower and Jesus answering the disciples. This next one is, it's a different question. Would you read for us,
sure,
Carlo?
Luke chapter 11, 1 through 4, I'm reading from New International Version. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.
Thank you very much. And the next verse will be Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. And Kenneth, if you'll read Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. And again, these verses, all of them, are pointing back to asking questions and allowing for that interaction. Go ahead, Kenneth.
Reading from the New King James Version. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.
All right, so we have three experiences. One is the parable of the sower. The second one was, what did the disciples ask? Teach us to pray. And what was the third one?
Waiting for the promise.
Right. How did Jesus respond to those questions? Were they all the same?
No.
Okay, so what were the differences?
I think with the first one about the parable, they had a very willing heart, you know, and an open heart, and they wanted to get understanding. So Jesus granted them understanding. And with the prayer, they realized that they have seen this about Jesus, about his prayer life. And I believe they knew from the fact that Jesus was able to do whatever he was able to do because of his constant prayer with his Father. So they wanted to learn how to pray. And here too, they did not understand the promise that Jesus had made to them. And Jesus was explaining to them that this is the instruction, wait here when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and then you can be my witnesses to the ends of the earth.
Very good. And Ulrich?
I see an interesting methodology here of Jesus in that he recognizes that in order to disciple spiritual leaders, one of the things a teacher had to do was to answer the questions of his disciples, because a disciple, the original word speaks of a person who is more like a student. And we know when you're learning, okay, you don't know everything, not everything you understand, so you're going to ask questions. So part of the aspect of teaching and discipling is answering these questions and being willing to fill in these gaps for your students.
Very true. And,
you know, I was thinking, Jesus basically says, the first question is a good one. Here's what it means, the parable.
Right.
The second question, that's a good request. I'll teach you how to pray, right? The third question is not a question you need to ask.
So what was the difference?
He doesn't answer that question. He said, that's really not what you need to ask. So I think we see a great teacher saying, good question, not a good question. What you need to talk about is the Holy Spirit giving you power to be my witnesses.
Right.
So to me, it's a great example of someone not only willing to let people ask questions and make requests, but also to be honest and say, those were good questions. That's more your agenda than what I want to talk to you about.
So we're talking about discernment, aren't we?
We need the Holy Spirit to help us.
We do. Right. We absolutely do. Trisha Lee, go ahead.
So I just wanted to add on to what we've just talked about. So I think also what's important when being a spiritual leader is that sometimes you don't have the answer. And so what's more important than just making up something off the top of your head just to say, oh, I know, and just saying something, is to be honest with folks and just say, you know, I'm not sure. I'm still learning that, too. Let's study this together, or I'll come back. And because I think it can be really dangerous to just make up an answer and tell someone something instead of just being honest and saying, you know what, why don't I need to study a little bit more. Let's study this together. So I kind of wanted to bring that out, too, that there's discernment in knowing which questions you should answer, but there's also honesty in saying that, you know what, I just don't know right now. And I think that's a good leader, too, is acknowledging that.
And Trisha Lee, I'm glad that you brought out that point, because could that be the reason why some who are discipling spiritual leaders, they don't want to have questions asked? It's out of their comfort zone. What if they don't have the answer? Is there something wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know, but I can find out, right?
Or let's study together.
Absolutely. Definitely. Willie will make a comment, and then we'll move on to
the next. Some teachers, they don't want to give everything that they know, because they want to have that power over this disciples.
Interesting. Yeah. Power over the information.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we're serving on a different level, aren't we? We should be as Christians.
Yeah.
So our next aspect that we want to look at, so far we've looked at prayer, the importance of prayer and having that communion with God. Also, asking questions and getting answers. Now it's time to push them out into the harvest. Am I right? And let's turn with Luke chapter 9, verse 1 through 6. And Gloria, if you would read that. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. And we want to look at these verses as they show us the actual training out in the field.
Right. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, 'Take nothing for the journey, neither staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them.' So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere."
Mm-hmm. What do you see there? Did Jesus send them away without anything? It sounds like they didn't take extra things.
Give them instructions.
Anything.
He gave them instructions first, and this is part of his way of saying, okay, I've taught you. Now it's time for you to learn by experience.
Learn by experience. Absolutely. And you have a comment.
And I could see here that he was telling them to go, but also making sure that they relied on him for everything. He had provided everything ahead.
Thank you so much for bringing that out. What does verse 1 say?
Verse 1 says,
he gave them power and authority. So he didn't send them away without the power and authority that they needed. Yes, Gloria.
And then from the text, you can see that he's showing them the ropes. Like sometimes we have experiences, leaders have experiences that new leaders do not have. But when you disciple spiritual leaders and you're asking them to go out there, teach them some of the bad experiences that you had, some of the really good experiences, what you think will work for them, and then always ask God if you don't have like answers to questions that they have to.
Yes, very important. And we're going to hit on that a little bit deeper in just a few minutes. But let's turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 1, because I believe there's an important concept in there that God wants to let us know as we're going out. And Nathan, if you would read Luke chapter 10, verse 1.
Okay, this is from the New King James Version. "After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go."
What's important in this verse?
Two by two.
Two by two. Why do you think it's important to go two by two?
Can I share an experience I had?
Go ahead, Nathan.
When I was in college, I was visiting homes in the community, and I was going with we were sent out two by two to do this. And as I was going, we were also selling Christian books in the process of visiting these homes. And there was a door which had a sign on it that said, "We shoot every third salesman." The second one just left. And so the advantage of having two of us was, I said, well, if one of us knocks on the door in his shop, the second one can witness to them. And so we were joking, but the encouragement was there. You know, when you're going two by two and you meet people who are just, you know, they're rude, they're mean, they don't. And sometimes it's just difficult work to witness in that context. And you have somebody with you. And Jesus knew that his disciples would need that. So he sent them two by two for encouragement.
One can pray while the other one's speaking. Yes. Is that right? So I would imagine then that the disciples were always successful. Is that right?
No.
Really? Yes. Let's turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14 to 21. And Jennifer, if you would read that for us. Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 through 21.
And I'm reading from the New King James Version. "And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting.
So the disciples were not always successful. What happened? Yes, Wilbur.
I think maybe at that point they were out of sync with the Spirit. They weren't connected. Because when I read verse 21, it says, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So that's what I believe.
They were out of sync. And
they probably weren't doing
it. Yes,
I just wanted to be sympathetic to them and say they were just learning.
Absolutely.
And so this was something that they'd not encountered before. Maybe there was a stronghold of the enemy that was different from what they'd experienced before. So, and yet, as you pointed out earlier, Stephanie, Jesus still sends them out.
Absolutely.
You get the encouragement two by two, but he's saying, you know, first you watch me, you know, and that's good learning. Mm-hmm. But then we do things together, and that's good.
Yes.
But then you go out, and then come back and let's talk about that. And I think they needed to talk about that, and they did. They said, why couldn't we do that?
So, and I think learning. That's a good point, too, because what did happen?
They failed.
And they came back and they said, What happened? Yeah. Jesus, what happened? And then he shared with them. Is there ever a point when we really need to step back out of service and working for God very actively and just take a quiet time with God? Is there ever a time? And a reason for that.
Yes.
Where in the Bible would we go to direct us to that? An example of that. Mark chapter 6. Verse 30 through 32. And Sam, if you would read that for us. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 32. We want to take a look at what Jesus was saying to his disciples when they had been laboring so much for the people.
I read from the New King James Version. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves.
What is happening here, Nathan?
They had a pretty active and successful ministry, it sounds like. And they come back, they're excited about it. But Jesus says, after something like that, we need to depart and recuperate. We need to refresh. We need to take some downtime. Balance is such a key in life, and Jesus was demonstrating that by his example here.
And it wasn't just downtime alone, but it was downtime with God, wasn't it?
Yes.
With
yes.
Jesus. Yeah. Now, my question for you is that Jesus isn't right beside us, is he? So, are we at a disadvantage?
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit. Thank you. That brings us to our next section and the next concept.
Can I just make one point, Stephanie, because I think this is really important in discipling leaders, spiritual leaders. As Nathan pointed out, this was a time of great success. And actually, that's a time also of great danger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
They actually were so, there was so much adrenaline in them.
Mm-hmm.
They're telling everything they'd done and taught, but they actually didn't have time to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where, just like praying all night. So it's, well, I just want to pray all night every night for a month. You know what I'm saying?
Temperance.
Yeah, lack of balance. Having seen God work in a powerful way, Jesus says, that's amazing, that's wonderful. He doesn't rebuke them for telling him everything.
Yes,
but let's take some time away to rest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll also debrief and all of that, but also just rest. And I think one of the lessons that both we as spiritual leaders and if we're discipling leaders, mm-hmm. we need to come to what you talked about with balance, mm-hmm. that God is not asking you to burn yourself out in the next few months, mm. but he wants you to serve in a healthy, balanced Amen. Way Amen. All of your days.
Amen.
Is that a relief?
That, Eric, that if you don't do that, you know, like you mentioned, it points out that they didn't even have time to eat. When you're not eating or you're not resting enough, what happens to you? You become weak, yeah. and the mm-hmm. devil knows that, and he's going to hit you when you're weakest. And so it's important for us to take care of those things so we can be spiritually strong.
And are you as effective when you're weak?
No.
We're not. Let's move on to dependence on the Holy Spirit, and we'll turn to John chapter 6, verses 7 through 14. And Ulrich, if you would read that.
Before we move on to that, let me add, because you're going into a good section there now, depending on the Holy Spirit that we're talking about the failure and what we can learn from it. I think one of the things when we're discipling spiritual leaders, failure is something we don't want, but here's why is it important. It will teach that individual that it's not about you and about your talent, but it's about God working in you to accomplish this work. So in that they failed, okay, Jesus saw this as a teaching moment. Failure can be important when it's a teaching moment where they get to realize, okay, it's not because of us this boy was healed, but we need more prayer, we need more fasting, we need
to learn from it, isn't it?
To learn from it.
Absolutely.
This is one of the important things of failure. It teaches us not to depend on ourselves.
But to depend on the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Would you read for us, Ulrich, John chapter 16, verses 7 through 14?
John chapter 16, verses 7.
And let's see what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit.
Okay, I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it reads, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you."
The Holy Spirit guides us into what?
Truth. All truth.
To all truth. And mm-hmm. he's here to help us. Whenever we have those questions, let's turn to John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18, and see a little bit more about the Holy Spirit's leading. And Nancy, if you would read that for us.
Sure. I'm reading from the New King James. "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you."
Amen.
Amen. What do we learn about the Spirit in those verses? Mm. Kenneth, something that comes to your mind.
It says that the Spirit is going to lead people to all truth. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be our helper, and he will be in us.
And would you read for us verse 25 and 26 of the same chapter, John 14, 25 and 26?
Reading from the New King James Version. "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. By the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, who will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you."
What do you see coming over and over again? He's going to teach us
All things, all truth.
Yes. Let's turn to, yes,
I just share one thing. I mean, this was just kind of an epiphany, and it's so simple. Mm-hmm. You cannot disciple spiritual leaders without the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, spiritual, amen. Spiritual amen. Leaders.
Amen.
You know, exactly.
You can't disciple people without the wisdom of the Spirit, right. Without the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of a bewildering thing to imagine that people would think they were so smart or educated that they could disciple spiritual leaders right. Without the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We can't.
Very key point.
Just to add to what Derek said, it's the Spirit that gives us our gifts. And then He empowers us to use His gifts. And He directs us when and how to use the gift, like He did with Philip that we studied previously. So when we're entering into discipling people, we understand we're passing on the light of Jesus, and that light can only shine when the Spirit is in you.
That's true, definitely. And Nathan, would you mind taking us to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6?
Okay. I just say...
Sure.
...that I noticed in that reading... In verse 16, Jesus said He would pray the Father to send the Spirit. Mm. So Jesus, it's important enough that Jesus is even praying to the Father to send the Spirit to us.
Amen.
Mm. Amen.
Powerful. Thank you for bringing out that.
Sure. And you want me to read
yes,
where?
Zechariah chapter 4,
and verse 6.
Okay.
This is the New King James Version. So He answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by My Spirit, says the Lord of hosts."
Amen. What is the context there, Nathan?
I believe the temple is being rebuilt. Zerubbabel could be discouraged, and there's all kinds of challenges, but He says it's going to be accomplished, not through your might or your power, but by God's Spirit.
Mm. Isn't that so important?
Right.
All that we've looked at, it's important to pray. It is. That's communication with God. Mm-hmm. It's important to ask questions. Mm-hmm. How about asking questions from God? Yeah. Will He guide us to the answers? Yeah. Absolutely. The Word of God says He will teach us and instruct us in the way to go, then to push us out into the harvest and get that experience.
Amen.
And while we're getting the experience, what do we need?
Depend on the Holy Spirit.
We need to depend on the Holy Spirit 100%.
Amen.
Go ahead, you have a comment.
I find the scripture so encouraging, especially when we talk about failures and what is success. It's so easy for us to find it by how many people we were able to baptize or how large of a following or how large the membership was, and we say that was successful. Or even times when we say, oh, I failed, I'm not doing that good. But I love here that it's telling us that it's the Holy Spirit that's working in us. So even when we think that we're not doing very well or we think that we want to label something a failure, we have no idea what grand plan the Holy Spirit's working out through the small actions that we're doing. So we have to be so careful not to get so easily discouraged and think that, oh man, I'm not being successful here, when God has a greater plan, you know, for us. It's not just us, it's Him working. So I just wanted to...
And human beings have a different definition of success, don't we?
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
And that's probably our problem, because our success is dependent on what I can do and how well I can do
it. Exactly.
I'd like us to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And I think this is a powerful example of the aspects that we've looked at. So far we've looked at what? Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And then what?
Asking questions.
Mm-hmm. And...
depending on the Spirit of God.
As we go out and get experience, is that right?
Getting experience.
Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 16, and verse 1, if I could have, Willie, if you would read that for us.
Sure. I'm reading from the New King James Version, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 to 2. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." Verse 2. And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said, Take a heifer with you and say, "I have come to sacrifice to the Lord."
And would you read verse 3 as well?
Verse 3. "Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do you shall anoint for me the one I name for you.
What do you see in those three verses?
It's God who guides us to the right person to anoint or to choose.
So Samuel is looking to anoint a king, am I right?
Yes.
And the first thing that he does is he communicates with God, doesn't he?
Yes.
Would you call that prayer?
Sure.
Was he praying?
Yes.
Then what else do you see? Verse 2 and 3. Nathan, you were going to make a comment.
He asks the questions. He's saying, you know, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he'll kill me.
So he asks
some reluctance.
Lord.
Yeah, he's
asking
questions. Absolutely.
Is there anything wrong with asking questions?
No.
And we've seen that before. Okay.
I love this because it's a difficult decision, not because there's an obvious opening, right? Mm. But there's a little bit of a decision that has to be made in that there's not the right person there. And I think that this is a good example that sometimes it's tough because there might be someone who's in leadership and the tough decision has to be made to maybe make a change or make a switch. And I think that this again shows that we don't make those switches just because we're upset with someone or we don't like someone. Right. We make these switches and changes under the influence and power of the Holy Spirit by prayer and seeking God's guidance. But I love that this is, you know, another example of a tough decision that has to be made.
Yes, and Jennifer.
Yeah, I just wanted to say something about, you know, why are some spiritual leaders afraid when people ask questions? I think part of it is humility, because if you're humble, you realize that you're not pointing people who you're discipling to you, but you're pointing them to Christ, right?
Amen.
So if you're recognizing that the source of your wisdom is the Holy Spirit, what you should be saying is, let's all go to the source and let God keep teaching us until we have a better understanding
yes.
of this.
Instead Amen.
Of saying, I don't know, so I'm afraid to talk about it.
That is powerful. Marianella, would you continue reading on in this passage, verses 4 through, we'll go down through 13.
First Samuel
chapter 16, and that's verses 4 through 13.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm reading from the New International Version. Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. Mm-hmm. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shema pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered, "but he is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from the day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah.
Mm. I love this passage. Yes. Did you catch what was happening?
Yes.
He asked the question, and then the Lord gave him an answer, and what did he do? He went out. And he went and experienced.
Yes.
But did you notice what was going on?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The boys were passing by.
One by one.
And he said,
"No, this is not it." Why, Marianella?
He said, "What man thinks is the one, or what, you know, you might think."
Outside appearance,
yeah. Yes. It's not what God is thinking. You know, God chooses, and we can't choose sometimes for God. God is the one that chooses.
And he knew because he was connected to the source of all wisdom. Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
I'd like to take just the next 30 seconds. If someone has an experience or they have something from this lesson they will take away and use in training of spiritual leaders, what are those four aspects? Someone who hasn't made a comment yet, if you would share what part of this lesson, maybe it was prayer, or it was learning by experience, or asking questions, or depending on the Holy Spirit, what has impacted you? Go ahead, Nancy.
I really like this passage too, in Samuel. It reminds me that ultimately God is the one who we need to seek when we're making decisions. I think about some of the great leaders that, you know, we've seen in the scriptures. Let's take Moses, for example. What was his resume like? Mm-hmm. What were his references? His resume, okay, he killed a man, he ran away, he's a sheep herder. Even David, he was a sheep herder. What could he do? He was good with a slingshot. But what do these people have in common? They depended completely on God.
Amen.
And so when we seek the Lord in for his guidance, he will show us the person, even if it seems like the wrong person.
So the ordinary person becomes extraordinary under the power
Amen.
Of God.
Yes, praise God.
Thank you.
Stephanie, thanks for sharing with us today. What a powerful lesson. And how important it is that as we're discipling spiritual leaders, that we're bathed in prayer. Give them permission to ask questions. Mm-hmm. What was the third one?
Depend on the Spirit.
Send them out.
Send them out. Let them fail even.
Hands-on training.
But encourage them and then teach them, I think by our own example, to completely depend on the Holy Spirit. What lessons for us today. And I want to thank you for joining us for Hope Sabbath School today. We've got a work to do. Mm-hmm. We're taking this message of Jesus to the nations. And we've got to disciple spiritual leaders, you might say, Lord, start with me. Yes. Let me be much in prayer. Let me be willing to ask questions with a humble spirit. Let me be willing to go out depending wholly on your Spirit. Let's pray that we can be those people even today. Mm-hmm. Lord God, thank you for these powerful lessons. And we would pray that the miracle would begin in our own hearts. Yes. And then use us to train spiritual leaders that we can work together, totally depending on your Holy Spirit in your work to share the good news about Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School today. What a challenge and what an opportunity to trust fully on the Holy Spirit, to go out in the power of the Spirit, sharing the good news about Jesus to bless the lives of those around us.